On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
Today we're going to look back at some of the best moments from this past year. So we're going to play clips and previous episodes and offer a little commentary around them. And just because it's us, we're also going to be sipping a few of our favorites because...
Of course.
It's us.
We're the Sips crew, and we're going to be talking about our best whiskey picks for 2024. It's been a good year for whiskey, boys.
A great year.
And hopefully 2025 will be a great year as well.
Our smokes episodes for season 12 were epic.
Epic.
Of great cigars. So many great brands and so many great cigars. We got the joy of being able to smoke. Several of our hosts are going to pick some of their top choice cigars. Some of these will be featured on the show, and some of these didn't make it on air this season.
We'll be right back after this break.
Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hello, friends. It's time to wrap up our 12th season of Suds segments.
12.
Today, we're going to look back at some of the best moments from this past year. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me today is good old boy Kendall.
Wow, that's a lot of years.
Good old boy Carl.
I think I only have 12 pairs of underwear.
Good old boy Mike.
That's more fingers than I have.
And good old boy Dave.
I have exactly that many fingers.
So we're going to play clips and previous episodes and offer a little commentary around them. And just because it's us, we're also going to be sipping a few of our favorites because...
Of course.
It's us.
Everything we're covering today was rated a 5. Just like me. We won't play the full discussion on each of these, but you can check the show notes to find the full episode for each of our top picks.
Okay, let's get going. Do you want some ED drugs with that cider?
Oh, this is a great episode. Mm.
This is a really hard question.
It was the Cidre DuPont Reserve 2016 traditional cider matured for 6 months in Calvados casks. Okay, speaking of some good cider.
Hard.
We need to get back to our core topic.
Yeah.
Cider.
Let's go to the DuPont Reserve.
DuPont.
From Domaine DuPont.
DuPont.
In Vito, Ponfaux.
Yeah.
France.
Sounds good.
6.9%
ABV. Sounds like
ABV.
Something's caught in your left nostril.
Oh, jeez. So the family DuPont family... The Famille DuPont family estate consists of 74 acres of orchards in Normandy. And they've been doing this for a very long time. They also produced Pommeau, am I saying that right? As well as Calvados. And
those are varieties of apples.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
I think this episode showed why the French hate Americans.
Just and one of it, many reasons.
Yeah. Isn't it Calvados?
Is it?
Yeah, Calvados. Yeah.
I always say Calvados.
That sounds like avocados.
Yes, yeah. I know. That is correct. It's a southern slang.
It's a slut?
Yeah. It's a slut? I think it's just a thing with a nut in it.
I remember that girl, Calvados. She was such a slut.
Look, I love this cider. And every time somebody says, you know, Mike, what is your very favorite cider of all time?
DuPont Reserve is just
hands down the best thing that I've ever had. And I've had a lot of great cider.
Yeah, if you're going to a cider party, like, I don't even know if that's a thing. Just take that.
But you need to bring this. Yeah. Yes.
And it was great that we had it on the show.
Wait, there are cider parties?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Underground cider party. Mm.
Deep in cider.
Underground. great start.
Yeah, it's like a punk show. It's in some basement somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Okay.
What's next, JB?
Moving on. Dukers, our favorite. It's a dead guy. Maybach, 6.8% ABV from Classic. Rogue.
So I was thinking it's, you know, this is one of the greatest albums of the 90s and really made a name for Green Day in the 90s. So I went with a beer that also was kind of birthed in the 90s and grew legendary. And that is Rogue's Dead Guy Ale.
That's such a good beer, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it plays along with the kind of somber, grungy thing with the skeleton. But he's also kind of fun. He's yeah. holding a beer. He's having a good time.
He's having a good time.
And I thought it just really pairs well with 90s craft beer with yeah 90s beer.
Cool.
And also a beer that has stood the test of time. 30 years later, we're still drinking it.
Very true.
So that was from one of our beer club episodes with good old boy Kendall. Shorter format episodes where we all listen to an album and we each pick a beer that we thought paired well with that album, and that was good old boy Kendall's pick.
Yeah, and we're drinking it right now, too, and I still love this beer.
Still great beer.
It's such a classic, yeah. Wonderful beer.
Yeah. And maybe slightly off topic, but what they've done with their can rebranding has also been awesome.
Excellent, yeah, absolutely.
Focusing in on the skeleton guy mm-hmm. who's having a great time.
The dead guy.
They really, and matte black cans, they really brought something from the 90s current into today's market.
Very iconic, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really tough to stand the test of time, you know, with one style beer, and especially with Maybach, where, I mean, there are probably, you know, a couple hundred Maybachs that easily have been produced over this period of time. This beer has stood the test of time.
Especially in the American
fantastic
market.
Fantastic beer.
You know, yeah. The U.S. craft beer market.
I think a lot of it has to do with the guy on the front. That skeleton dude is what sells this beer.
Non-threatening.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like the old school king of grunge. Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
I think he's very threatening.
I think it's because I think you guys slept there on site. That's what really happened that make this work, right?
I did sleep at a Rogue facility one time.
Yes, you did.
They do have an inn, folks. Yeah. I did not sleep in the tap room.
I passed out behind Black Abbey once. I'm not bragging about it.
You too?
Yeah.
Oh, those pumps are so good.
Wow. Okay, moving on. You are treating your body like an amusement park.
Great episode.
Oh my gosh. It was all about the Wiseacre.
I will tell you that I love this pack. Before we even get into it, I seek this pack out when I'm going to parties for two reasons.
Okay.
One, it's Tennessee local.
Yeah.
Two, it's a great pack of lagers. And yeah. Craft lagers.
Yeah.
And so it is always something just very approachable. I can, you know, bring to a party. I know I'm bringing something good, and it's kind of, you know, it's something that's approachable for most people, especially Mike, like you were saying, you have people that are afraid of hops, you know, like
yep. this is definitely for a lot of that beyond Budweiser crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Is how I would describe this. The thing that I like about this particular choice is having Tiny Bomb in any variety pack. I am totally in. So I consider the Tiny Bomb American Lager from Wiseacre is like one of the top five, you know, standard pilsners for American craft. Great beer.
Right. So this was part of the Wiseacre Lager Life variety pack. We were doing an episode on mixed 12 packs. And I mean, Wiseacre like knocked it out of the park. Like everything in that mix pack perfect. Was just perfect.
It was just so good.
For the summer life.
The right? Memphis Sands is one of my favorite beers. And if you're in Memphis, you can buy a 24 pack of 16 ounce cans. It's pretty great.
Mm.
And they just won a GABF gold for Skydog. So,
really? Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a, they are.
Good for them.
Still
really
kicking
nailing it on the lagers.
Yeah.
Memphis has the softest water in the United States. It's really? Softer than Pilsen. So the water in Memphis is perfect for making this style of beer.
Oh, wow.
And Wiseacre absolutely crushes it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that we, you know, went through the variety pack because there are just so many great beers that are really, they're producing on a repetitive basis, but I'm sorry, I'm just going to say the same thing. Tiny Bomb is just the all-time Pilsner
it's
reference
right.
store.
Yeah.
So, Memphis, so. Lagers, barbecue, stabbing.
Yeah, for sure. Elvis.
The best thing you can do in Memphis is go to a bar called the Slider Inn and get a Jameson slushy.
Wait.
You're welcome.
Oh, interesting.
Called the what?
The Jameson slushy.
Slider Inn.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Okay.
Two ends.
Next, the original three-way. Fresh Picks R&D Italian style Pilsner. Right before the break, we started talking about from the R&D series, their Italian Pilsner, which is a 5% ABV Italian Pilsner. And
I just asked a Kendall, do you go to Italia and get these hops?
Banned.
Or do you ship the hops across the world?
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. They're getting Italian hops. I'm not aware of many varieties of Italian hops that would work for something like this. So it's really cool because, you know, most hops are coming from a little bit farther north. So these must be grown, I'm guessing, up towards the Alps.
Venice. Eraclea is a small city and commune in the metropolitan city of Venice.
Well, that's where they're grown to malt, right?
That was the hops, I thought. Oh, no, you're right.
Oh, malt. It is the malt.
You're right. I'm sorry.
But either way, fantastic beer. I just love this beer. It's one of my favorite they've got on right now.
I just had to include Mike's crappy Italian accent.
Of course.
I thought that was the best part of the story.
That was funny.
I thought the best part was Drew getting it wrong.
Yeah. Well, that was good too. That was good.
Great beer.
Love these guys. Sonder out of Cincinnati is now my new favorite Cincinnati brewery. And I mean, I love some of the others that are there, but they're just doing some really cool things.
I think it's the best Italian Pilsner made outside of Italy.
It's the best Italian Pilsner I've had in the past couple of years. Really good. Really well done.
Really well done.
And last but certainly not least, you need to touch it to taste it. This is the Pumpkin Spice Walla Latte, 10W40.
A good pumpkin beer?
No. Shocking.
It's beautiful.
This is nice.
Yeah. This is nice.
This is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, this...
And it's not just because it's compared to everything else that we've had so far.
No, it is complex. The spice is balanced with the stout. The stout has its own character shining through. Yeah. It's got a dryness to it. Yeah.
Soothing to me right now.
Very soothing. But soothing on many levels, you know, because... Okay. This is when pumpkin is done right, because it's a stout, which we can all agree because of the dark color. And they make a good stout to begin with.
Yeah, the 1040 is always really good.
Yeah. Okay, we're rating this one a 5.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, for those of you that are trying to catch up, this is the High Wire Spice Walla Pumpkin Latte 10W40.
In a world where we drink a dozen pumpkin beers or so.
Such a bad idea.
Yeah.
It was nice to actually have something.
It was a rough show, and I hate pumpkin beers. Everybody knows how much I hate pumpkin beers. I like this beer. Highwire did a really good job. It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
We've brewed a couple of collabs with them, and they are such good dudes, and I'm so glad to know them and absolutely heartbroken about what's happened with them with the floods and whatnot, but they've been great.
Yes.
Well, that's going to end it for us.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and this is our Best of the Year show, so we're the Sips crew, and we're going to be talking about our best whiskey picks for 2024. We're going to start with Brent. What was your pick of the year?
This was unanimous. It was the Brown Foreman King of Kentucky, a 16-year
130.4 proof is
awful stuff. Awful.
Yeah. This, I mean, I think when we tasted it, everybody said like, oh, if we could all have this as our pick of the year for sure. You know,
it's either this or Arcane.
Oh yeah. No. Barely beat that out. No. But this is everything you want in a whiskey and in a bourbon. And it's just beautiful. It's so mouth coating. All the flavors are there. The vanilla, the tobacco, the wood, the leather, the spices, and it just coats your mouth. It gives you that big Kentucky hug. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is probably up there. I mean, one of the best whiskeys I've ever had. And that says something, you know. I mean, look how many we've tasted.
I was going to say, yeah, as much as you drunk. You know, so. I'm not even talking about the show. So. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was a pretty good one. Anything else sort of struck your fancy? Maybe a runner-up?
Yeah, I have a runner-up. I have the Bernheim Kentucky Straight Wheat Whiskey, barrel proof, the A224. We tried that. That was like a new product. And that's one that really caught my fancy. Loved it. I mean, I might have picked that one if this one hadn't come along.
All right. Well, we're going to go. Harm's pick was the Old Pulteney 21. So we're going to play a clip from that episode when he was talking.
Green fennel, sandalwood, lemon, orange, licorice. It just keeps coming and coming. Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is crazy.
How soon can you get this, Harm?
Creamy note?
How soon can you get this?
It's Friday.
Skip the mortgage payment by the
end. I hate to admit it. He's right. There is green fennel.
Yeah, it's all there, dude.
My fennel is always green. What about you?
Man. You can get black fennel. I don't have any fennel at all.
Yeah. Oh.
None.
I mean, to me, green fennel is redundant. It's like saying
now that you can get black fennel too.
I mean, we're recording this in January for broadcast sometime later in the year, but we've already, I'm telling you right now, I've already hit one of my candidates for best whiskey
of 2024.
Yeah, right.
Without a doubt. So that'll tell you right there, we were on in January. So yeah,
it's the test of time on that one.
Justin, what was your pick for best of the year?
It was the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Special Release Coy Hill Barrel House 8. This was a firebomb. Unbelievable sweetness, heat, the finish. It goes on for many minutes. It's an all-day sipper.
That's about most words we've got out of him in about 5 years.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm impressed. I'm not even going to poke him or anything. I'm afraid he'll like take some of them back. Well, we're going to go and see what Maury picked. And Maury picked the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon. So let's see what he had to say about that one.
It's improved in the glass quite a bit. I mean, I thought it was great when I poured it, and it's only gotten better with a little bit of air. It's really just beautiful. The fruits are juicy. They jump out in the front palate, the oak, the warm cinnamon. I mean, you guys really nailed it on all the notes. And then the finish just goes on and on and on. That sweet tobacco is really neat. The ground cinnamon, the cacao. I just think that it's delicious. Is it the best birthday bourbon ever? I don't know that I could say that, but it's never disappointing.
Cacao?
I think that's what the guy screamed when the F-35 went over his house.
How did we let him get away? How did we get away with that? I don't care.
Oh, we'll rip on him now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true.
Not too late. It's the best of the year show.
Yeah, it's only 9 o'clock at night.
It's the best rip of the year.
So that was so the Old Forester birthday. That was Maury's pick. And we actually have a pick with good old boy Mike.
Hey, thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Every year we have so many wonderful things we get to try here on Sip, Suds, and Smokes, and it seems like there's always, you know, an exceptional product that just kind of jumps out at you. And this year it's from Glenmorangie, and it's the ice cream. It is the tale of ice cream. You know, it's basically remembered by Dr. Bill. And I think that's what I really love about this particular product. It's just really, it's very decadent, it's very sweet. Has an awful lot of peaches and vanilla on it. And part of it is that they actually chose to use a toasted new oak barrel for the first time as a finishing barrel. And, you know, I think for people that are making things in Scotland and, you know, working with new cask is not something that they do on a regular basis. So I really enjoyed the innovation, but more importantly, the finished product was just really amazing. So if you get a chance to try this, I really think it's a great rendition. It's A Tale of Ice Cream, again, by Glenmorangie. My sips rating for this is going to be a 5.
Well, it's hard to argue with him on that one, as that really was an excellent whiskey. I got a hold of a sample of that, and really, really delicious. So that's going to take us to my best pick. So my best pick of the year was the William LaRue Weller 2024 release. Always, every year for me, it's the Stag, but this year... Oh, that Weller is so good. It's just, it's molasses and toffee, and it's just, it just smells dark. But there's just so much, there's so many layers to this thing, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on. I think this is, I mean, there have been some great Weller, but I think this is one of the better ones I've had in the last 4 or 5 years. This one is really, really top notch. So that's my best pick of the year. But we had some amazing whiskeys this year as well. I mean, just looking through the list, I mean, that Cavillon Vino Barrique private barrel that we had, that thing was insane. I mean, just so really, just so well done. And Jack was very kind to us this year. Not only was that Coy Hill, but we did the twice barreled special release Heritage Barrel Rye. If you remember that one.
That was a really good one too. That one stuck out a lot.
And then we also, that same show, we had the single barrel proof rye, which I'm pretty much convinced, no offense, just stop making Old Never Seven. Just make that. Make nothing else. Just make that. That's all you ever need to make again. Barrel proof, leave it alone, single barrel, don't do anything else. And me and Brent will buy pretty much everything you make. So the Benriach 40 this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God. The Jack 10 and 12 year old batch 3 and 2. And I can't go without mentioning that last drop 40 year old 15th anniversary blend. That thing was amazing.
All the last drops we had this year were off the chain.
Well, we did that 32 year old single malt Irish whiskey too.
Yeah.
That was good. But
it was really good.
But that 40 was just That was
another
up there.
World.
That was up there. That Benriach was just ungodly good. I mean even I think Harm was even talking about it. Hold on.
The color is a beautiful dark amber with reddish glints. The nose is raisins. And a little bit of heat, which was surprising to me at 87 proof. But that was before the air got to it. Now with air, it's gorgeous. It's surprisingly gorgeous. I mean, it's
just gotten better.
It's raisins and plums and cherries and cedar and some little bit of chocolate. On the palate, it's all about stone fruit. And hold on.
Yeah, I mean, that one was fantastic. So it's been a good year for whiskey, boys.
A great year.
Been a really good year for whiskey. So that's our whiskey picks for best of the year. So let's go over and shift to our wine picks. So, Justin, what was your pick for best wine of the year?
So this year I picked the Alpha Omega Cabernet Sauvignon Beckstoffer to Cologne 2018. It's 14.8% alcohol by volume. It's 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, 90% barrel fermented, 10% stainless steel tank fermented, aged 22 months in French oak, 80% of it's new, 20% from a one-year-old barrel.
Well, what'd you think about it?
It was really complex, but balanced. Mm-hmm. And those are two really difficult things to pull off. On the nose, I got like lilacs, matchbox, cantaloupe, sawdust, pencil lead, chocolate powder, wet steel, underbrush, pencil shavings. On the palate, was silky, yet fresh, evolving on fine tannins, lingering to elevated tannins on the finish. Notes of fruit punch, lavender, hints of rosemary, toasted rye bread.
uncured bacon, black currant, key lime pie, orange peel, white peach, pomegranate, candied cherry. This place is off the chain. And to balance all those weird notes, wow.
Well, it was definitely, I mean, I was extremely impressed with all of their wines, but it's, you know, it's a Tokelon. It's, you know, it's going to be good. And it did not disappoint. So let's see, what did Harm pick? He picked the Catherine Hall Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2019. Let's see what he had to say in the episode.
There's a reason I like this wine. I'm just saying. This is all about ripe black fruit, herbs, and chocolate and licorice on the nose. And so beautiful. Earthy, dark, chocolatey, blackberries, graphite. That, you know, the tannins are there. You get that beautiful grip. It starts out lush, and then it gives you that good grip that you know you're drinking something with age worthy. And the finish is with tobacco and fruit, and it's long. And I could drink this all day. There's a reason I like this wine.
Yeah, it was fantastic wine. And Justin and I went and visited them earlier this year and had some other wine there that was just as good, if not better. I mean, it's a beautiful winery. If you're out that way, definitely check out the Hall Winery. They have the one in the valley, and then they have the one up on the mountain. So our next pick was from good old gal Denise, and she picked the Pine Ridge Stag's Leap District Cabernet Sauvignon. So,
yeah, it should turn into a fabulous wine, and it is. You know, it has that deep, dark garnet red color, which is just so beautiful. And the nose has a really interesting Coca-Cola, I don't know, aromatic presence. And it's also, for me, a little herbal, and I always love herbal notes. I think I've mentioned this several times today. So the nose is fantastic, but then when you try it and you get these chocolate-covered fruits, like a deep, dark blueberry or a blackberry, and then more herbal notes on the palate. But the kicker is the tea. A teetotaler myself, I love tea. I especially love Earl Grey tea. And to get that note into a wine glass is just amazing. And I've seen Earl Grey itself blended with many things, even though it's not in here. But you get those notes. And I just think that it really balances it out. And it just makes it an interesting and delicious wine.
Yeah, that was a good one as well.
Yeah. Remember we went to Napa and we had that Earl Grey champagne?
Mm-hmm.
That was insane. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think it would work, but it worked.
Yeah, Chandon.
Yeah.
Her description just makes you want to dive into it.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, and our next wine for Best of the Year was Maury, and he picked the Croix Estate 12 Rose Chardonnay. So let's see what he had to say in the episode about that one.
Thank you, Bob. This is a really light, pale straw color. On the nose, I get all kinds of things going on. I've got some citrus. I've got vanilla. I've got creme brulee. On the palate, it's got a beautiful mouthfeel. It's got everything I want in a Chardonnay. It's got some butter. It's got some oak. It's got some vanilla.
You didn't get pear? I got pear, too. Everything you said is right. I agree with everything.
I didn't get a lot of pear, but now that you mention it, there's a hint of pear.
It's yellow pears.
I just thought it was delightful. It's got a long finish. It's everything I like in a California Chardonnay. I thought it was well made. I thought it was fantastic. It's really improved in the glass. It was a bit cold when we first poured it. It's warmed up to room temperature. It's had a chance for a little air in the glass. I find this delicious.
Yeah, that one. I mean, all the wines from Croix, and we also went to Croix when we were out in January. And it's a little winery. It's sort of like a passion project with Kurt Vange, and the wines were fantastic. But that Chardonnay was the one that stunned me.
Yeah,
because I don't think we had that when we were out there, and all the other wines were really good. But compared to that Chard, it was that thing was far and away just insanely good. And I'm not a big Chard guy. So
Croix really blew me away. I think that's my favorite Sonoma winery. May not be big, but it's mighty.
Well, that's what I like about it. It's not big. You know, I like the little ones. You know, they're a lot more fun than the big corporate ones. But
and they'll give you a blanket if you're cold.
Yeah, that too.
That's service.
So for me, my pick of the year, well, I had a couple of runner-ups that I thought were particularly good. The Roy Estate Cabernet Sauvignon was fantastic. I've had Roy Estate once or twice before, and it was always great, but it was fantastic. That was the 2019 cab. And recently, I don't even think this show's went out on the air yet. It's going out, I think, before the end of the year, from Stewart Cellars, their 2021 Napa cab. And it was fantastic, and it was maybe a third of the cost of everything else that was on the table.
Yeah.
I mean, not inexpensive, but wow, what a punch for the money. But for my pick for best of the year, I got to go with the Dow Soul of the Lion. That one was absolutely fantastic. They never miss with that one. They are one of the kings of Paso, and we did that on our Paso Robles show. But we've been doing Dow now for several years. Thankfully, yeah. They're kind enough to always share some of their wines with us, and they're always just off the chain great. But that Soul of Lion was fantastic. I mean, 22 months and 100% new French oak, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and Petit Verdot. It was just great fruit and cherries and blackberries and currants and just some nice sage and a little bit of earthiness and maybe a little bit of graphite on it. On the palate, it was just blueberries, tobacco barn, some vanilla, toasted oak. I mean, just so well put together, like they always are. But we also had some other great wines as well. I mean, we had some fantastic wines from the folks at Gargiulo. Love that winery. Love that winery. Ehlers Estate, great wine, fantastic wine. Their 2019 was just picked as the number two wine of the year by Wine Spectator.
And well deserved.
Yeah. The Tablas Creek that we did was very interesting from Paso. So it's been a great year. And hopefully 2025 will be a great year as well. So that's our picks for best of the year for best whiskeys and best wines. And that will pretty much do it for us for 2025. And we'll turn this over to the folks at our other studio up in Nashville to give you their thoughts on their picks for best of the year. Take it away, guys.
Hey, good old boy Mike here with my top sips pick for rum in season 12. This product is Old Monk XXX Rum. Comes from India. The other designation on the bottle is a very old vatted. And there are several different versions of this. And I'm sure that some of the other versions are equally good. But this one really caught my attention for just how unique it was. It is very sweet. It's very dark. It has kind of a coffee overtone to it. So there's a little bit of floral and bitterness that is on top of this flavor profile. The interesting thing about this product is the price. It's probably retails for about $20 US. Very affordable. And it certainly, if you see it, definitely pick up a bottle and try it out. For now, let's just go to Boy Mike, asking you to keep on sipping.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome to this Smoke Segments as we cover the best of 2024. You asked for it, and here we are to fool one another again. Our smokes episodes for season 12 were epic.
Epic.
Of great cigars.
They were so freaking good.
So many great brands and so many great cigars. We got the joy of being able to smoke. Several of our hosts are going to pick some of their top choice cigars. Some of these will be featured on the show, and some of these didn't make it on air this season, but still a good smoke. And we're just going to kick right into it and let Mike take it away with his one favorite cigar.
Yeah, so I only picked one cigar as kind of my best of. You know, everybody else had
smoked one.
No, I smoked several. But, you know, this particular cigar we did not have on the show, although it is slated for maybe an episode we're going to cover on season 13. It is from Adventura Cigars, and it is the Navigator. Real
did
quick,
you say Ace Ventura?
No.
Bumblebee Tuna?
Bumblebee Tuna.
So the wrapper on this is San Andreas Maduro, the binder Sumatra, Indonesia, and the filler is Dominican Republic, Ecuador, Nicaragua, and it's aged for 5 years. Sometimes when I read something like this, I ran across, you know, kitchen sink is the first thing that runs in across my mind. And
you sure it's not woody?
We've had a lot of cigars that, you know, have this, a lot of things going on, and it really comes down to, you know, is it really have all of this great balance. I loved this cigar, and I just, you know, the first thing that I really was very oily, was leathery, and you know, probably one of my favorite cigars is CAO's Amazon Basin. And this was as close to that same taste profile that I really enjoy out of the Amazon Basin. And this is one, you can find this. The price point is about half what you would probably have for Amazon Basin. So that's what I really enjoyed about this. The size that I enjoyed is called Cabral. That's kind of a new term. It's 54 by 6. No, I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But listen, it's a very good cigar. It's an interesting makeup of a retailer out of Switzerland and hooked up with the guys from the Henderson Ventura is the blender for this from Tabacalera. William Ventura in the DR, and the retailer is Marcel Noble of Switzerland. And so these guys kind of hooked up, you know, to create this line. You know, we've had a lot of things, you know, where the retailer kind of steps into the manufacturing process and you kind of scratch your head and go, I don't know if this is your calling, man. but, you know, I think this is a time where it has worked really exceptional. So I hope you'll definitely check out The Navigator by Aventura Cigars is my top pick for season 12.
Yeah, second that motion. Cigar.
Yeah. Benjamin, what were some of your top picks, man?
That puts me in the hot seat. So
it does.
I couldn't pick just one, so I've got three. And these were late season picks for me. These are some sticks that I ran to a little bit later in the year, but very glad that I did. The first one is going to be the Belgian Blue by Crown Heads. We all know and love Crown Heads, especially here. It's a local brand for us. It's a good friend of ours in the industry. So this one is Nicaraguan. It's country of origin, Mexican San Andreas wrapper, Maduro with Ecuadorian, Nicaraguan, and Dominican Republic binder and filler. This thing is a
awesome,
long, smooth sip, man.
Awesome.
Just all the perfect aged woody tones, the leather tones that you want, maybe even a touch of like overripe like stewed berries to it. This thing hits. But yeah, definitely enjoyed this smoke. Definitely something that I will be picking up as long as it's available.
Now, I think this was a new product from Crown Heads this year, right?
It is a brand new product.
Yeah, it is a new product.
Literally hit shelves maybe a month ago.
Yep. That was about a month ago it came out.
After the Belgian Blue Bull. It's a breed of beef. But yeah, I mean, it's a soft box press situation. Nice oily wrapper. And I mean, this thing just stacked dimes all the way through from front to back. Just well constructed. And yeah, I think every time that I've been back into a tobacco shop that has one, I've picked up at least two.
I think they're a 12 count box too.
Yeah. So definitely one of those user friendly situations.
Yeah. You know, under $200, you can get, you know, some good cigars.
Yeah. And then the second one for me is the Matilde Special Edition 2024. Man. So different than the limited release. And I was literally in the humidor at our local tobacconist picking up the Belgian Blue. And our good friend, old Nader Salad, ran in the humidor and was like, "Hey, wait, you have to smoke this." And I'm like, "Well, I'm smoking both of them, so this is perfect." But this is an Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapped cigar with a Nicaraguan, Dominican, Peruvian binder and filler. Smaller ring gauge, so it's a 6x50, so still a Toro, but that smaller ring gauge. And I think this is probably one of my hands down favorite things about Matilde cigars is it has, if you've ever had any type of seafood dish, or if you've ever had any type of like Cajun dish with the perfect amount of spice, the perfect amount of like cayenne pepper, that kind of hits on the back end, but then lights your whole palate up in the best way possible. That's what this smoke was for me. You know, it's always one of those things where like, it's a special edition, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, get them while you can. But this thing is aces.
Matilde's just got bangers of cigars. All their cigar line is just bangers. And yeah, that dude that owns it is salt of the earth, man. Just salt of the earth.
Yeah. I've had some solid sticks from Matilde as well. I know I haven't had this limited release, but some other ones in their line, really great.
Yeah.
Last for me is the Intergalactic Event Horizon from Black Label Trading Company. This is a brand that I'm circling back to. The first couple of encounters that I had with them were some sticks that I didn't necessarily enjoy, that had a lot of hype, but I just think they weren't necessarily my palate. But this Intergalactic Event Horizon, this is Desert Island smoke for me.
Really?
Yeah, 100%, man. It's in the right size. So I smoked the Petite Corona, so 4.75x46. You're really getting the concentration of that Pennsylvania broadleaf wrapper. And it just, all of the big, bold chocolate, coffee, black pepper, you know, kind of also fruit and raisins kind of scenario. It's the perfect mixture of spicy and sweet with the Ecuador Habano and Nicaraguan binder and filler.
Easy to find this one?
No, not anymore. It's another, like, it's a yearly release, kind of like the Morphine is for them. So, yeah, I actually had a heartbreaking moment. I was at our favorite, you know, cigar shop here on the east side of Nashville and went in, and the box was still there, right? It was like the last box that they had. The last couple of times I've been in there, they were out. And one of the guys that works there, Brady, was like, "Oh man, there's one more left in here." And somebody had decided to put back a cigar into this box that wasn't the cigar that went in the box. And I was like, I'm going to kick over a shelf. That's it. That's it. I'm about to wreck this place.
My favorite thing to do is to play grab bag and just put them back randomly.
Dude, I knew it was you.
Yeah.
You sly fox. But yeah, very big heartbreak. You know, I normally don't cry in public, but I was really close. And if I do find them, this is box worthy. Only share with close friends. But if you find one, smoke it, smoke it, smoke it, smoke it.
Yeah. No, that's great, man.
That's as far as I can narrow it down without getting in trouble. So,
well, I could talk for days.
Yeah, Barger, go over your seven cigars
that I've got. I actually took one out, but I've got a list of my top four now. And you know, the I did not expect this one to get on my list. And I just smoked it a week ago. And
a week ago,
my God, when I tell you angels from heaven start singing when you light this cigar, you better believe it. So from Foundation, which is one of my rapidly becoming one of my favorite brands now, it's the Highclere Castle series, and this one's called the Sentinger, S-E-N-E-T-J-E-R. I'm, you know, I was not a good geologist.
Good with the words, we know.
Yeah, yeah, but it's to celebrate 100th anniversary of this discovery of the Egyptian pharaoh Tutankhamun, his tomb, and so like they come in a tomb shaped box, a sarcophagus box. And it's really cool. Now, it's interesting the way they do things. Like, so their wrapper is a Habano Ecuadorian seventh priming. And their binder is Brazilian Modafina. And they don't disclose the filler. But it's a six and three quarter by 52. And it's like a Perfecto. It's got a, you know. And it's fantastic. And I'd say if you get a chance to get any of these at your local shops, you need to pick them up because this thing smokes slow and low. It doesn't get hot on you. It didn't get any, the flavor changed beautifully throughout it. It was nice and oily, just very consistent. And I was really surprised by smoking it. Have you guys had a chance to smoke any of them?
So I haven't smoked this edition of it, but I smoked the one last year.
Okay.
And could not echo that sentiment anymore, specifically from Foundation perspective. Nick and his team,
fantastic. I mean,
absolute bangers, man. And everything from something that is very price approachable to, you know, yeah, all the high end sticks, you know, that you can smoke. But they tend to consistently land somewhere in the middle from right. That perspective, man, they couldn't be more accessible for cigar smokers. And so if you've been out there kind of looking for a brand that's going to do that for you, it's Foundation Cigars.
Well, we look forward to doing an episode for season 13 coming up, I believe.
Yep.
Season 13. I can't believe it. Next on my list is going to be the Illusion Group of Five, which we did in our blind episode.
Some of us.
Some of us. If you haven't got a chance to listen to that episode where Benjamin missed out, just go ahead and circle back and type in your comments, the blind episode, and it'll bring it, pop it right up. I can't think of the name of the episode because Mike names them all these funny things, and I don't remember them sometimes.
Did I miss out, or did somebody leave me hanging?
I think that I might have had a few too many drinks and smoked your blind stick by mistake. That's my fault, and I apologize. Yeah. Anyway, so next on my list is going to be Natura Cigars, their First Harvest. I don't know if you remember that at all, but they are in a colder climate, and they're all in like a valley. The all their stuff is grown in the valley of a cold climate. Man, I can't think of where they're from. But they are just fantastic cigars. Here you go. I got them pulled up right here.
Dominican.
Dominican. They're grown in the mountains of the Dominican Republic at a higher climate, at a higher elevation. And all their greenhouses are open air greenhouses, and they control the watering with the nutrition up there. It's crazy. But I got to talk to them at the PCA, and they had one. They only give us one of these cigars at the PCA, which good. I mean, they only made a few hundred boxes of it. So, but man, this cigar will ever be in my memory. Like, I smoked it in my front porch, just hanging out, and had a good bottle of bourbon with me, and man, it was just a fantastic experience. Like, the cigar itself was an experience, and they're puros. So and being that colder climate and the soil that is, man, it just makes for a totally different smoke. And if you guys find those in your lounges, it's called the First Harvest. y'all should pick those up for sure. And lastly on my list is going to be Peter, the Peter James by Luciano. You guys remember that from PCA, and which is also on the PCA episode. We talked about both of these cigars on the PCA episode, which you can go back in our back catalog and listen to those episodes also. And we're looking forward to doing PCA of 2025 this year in New Orleans. Is that right?
Yes. New Orleans.
Yeah. And I believe it'll be more than just myself and Rich there this year. So looking forward to that.
Let's wrap up for today, Burger.
Yeah, man. I'd like to thank both of you guys for being here. Good old boy, Mike. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for joining us for this best of discussion. Come back and enjoy another great episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes. We have a really good back catalog, and I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
And good old boy, Benjamin.
Dude, it's been a great, you know, full calendar year with the Sips, Suds, and Smokes cast and hanging out with you guys and really getting to dive into something that was just more of a leisurely hobby that's turned into a really cool passion. And man, you know, I can't be more of a proponent of people not only checking us out and forming their own opinion with all of the rants and side conversations we get into, but I look forward to 2025 and continuing to hang out with you awesome dudes. You know, and as always, man, smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and definitely thank you guys for listening, and thank you all the brands that have been a part of our catalog this year of season 12. Hats off to all of you. You've all done a great job in making quality good cigars for this year, and we look forward to smoking a lot with you this next coming year at PCA, getting a handshake and get in y'all's faces and tell you what we don't like, you know. And I'm sure you guys are gonna love that too. But you know, as for every day, I always say keep on smoking no matter what it is, and we're going to sign off, and we hope you all have a good evening.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap
it in
the subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy tap tap tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.